Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here we go, JV. Who they? Who they? Who they say gonna beat the Bengals? Who they? Who they? Who they say gonna beat the Bengals? No!
Fuck you. We like the Bengals. Starts now.
Like, it'd be funny if someone, like, specified, like, ow, that's my dick. Or no, like, it'd be funny if someone specified, like, ow, that's my dick hole.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be the fun part of just continually punching someone until they're like, ow, my dick. Ow, my dick head. Ow, my left nut. Ow, my dick hole. Like, just keep hitting.
Yeah. Oh, we're recording. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to
Fuck You, We Like the Bengals.
Our first off-season episode in like 2 years, actually.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Alex Schubert, sitting across from me, as always.
Lloyd Johnson.
It's been a minute.
It's been a little bit.
How have you been?
Not too bad. Apparently today there is a pollen alert. My phone let me know first thing in the morning. and I was like, all right, whatever. And then I have not been able to breathe all day.
I feel like when you get like alerts like that, like a pollen alert, that's just when like chaos surrounds you even more. It's like when you get something that's like, oh, shit's going to be fucked up. It's like, oh, you got like seven things to do and you can't like avoid like say like the pollen alert or like weather or some shit.
Yeah. I'm like literally helping a friend in a basement, like running wire through like joists that haven't been touched in 20 fucking years.
Of course.
Like, you know, broke all the drywall down and shit and pulling new wire through it. So it's just all this like 20 something years of fucking dust just falling all over me. I was wearing a mask in there.
That sounds so fun.
It sucks, but, yeah. And then, you know, all of a sudden, part of the plan changes and about 60 hours worth of my work gets changed around and I have to reroute like 11 different circuits that were running through one wall to now run a different way because they've decided there's going to be an opening there to be a stairwell later on.
That was a lot of words.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, dude, that just sounds exhausting.
Yeah, it's nothing more fun than literally undoing shit you've been doing for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, and just like, well, I guess we're going to have to try this now.
Yeah. So it's just literally unhooking all the shit I've been doing, pulling it all back out and rerunning it a different way and hoping that, you know, there's enough wire there. And a couple of them there hasn't been, so I've had to rerun them from start to end. Just
Being an electrician sounds so fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, speaking of working at some places, Lloyd, so we normally record in your apartment.
That is true.
Where are we recording right now?
We are at the podcast studio that I built at Go Bananas.
Yay!
Pretty cool.
It is, dude. It's pretty fucking sick where it's just like, I'm so used to recording in like Lloyd's kitchen where it's like, I mean, granted, I'm always happy to go there, but like fucking
full
this
of smoke
is.
And
yes. And I just like. Did you ever go to the Thompson House open mic?
Yeah.
Dude, that was like the one open mic where it's like everyone fucking smoked in there. And this is before like vaping and shit became the norm. It's like everyone smoked cigarettes.
Yeah, I loved it.
I didn't.
I liked it.
Dude, like I would come home from open mics every Monday reeking of cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's like, did I smell like Newports or Newport? Like, what is?
It's the same smell.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's just Newport is just a little bit of extra sweat on top of that smell.
Yes, so Newports. It was just like I just like my clothes would just fucking reek every single Monday because I'm just like I wanted like spend 4 hours in the Thompson House bombing.
Well, I mean, you were a puppy then.
I was a puppy. It was like it started in 2012, which was like my first year doing comedy. Dude, my first night I was ever there for an open mic, there was a band, you will have heard of them, I promise. the band, there was a band called 12 Stones.
Okay.
Do you know of this band?
No.
Yes, you do. So they're hang with me here.
I'm waiting.
They're so their lead singer, Paul McCoy, I knew him because he was the male vocalist in the Evanescence song, oh. Bring Me to Life.
Wake me, yeah.
Yep.
That touch was, my butt. I don't know what he said. Whatever he says. I know like her voice is awesome. And
come in
like,
my face.
He's just like, touch my butt. She's like, dip, dip, dip. He's like, dip, dip, dip. Like, I don't.
Dude, that was like when nu metal was like super popular. And that was like probably one of the most popular nu metal songs maybe ever.
Yeah. I mean, she has an amazing voice.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
He does not.
It's fine, but it's just like all this, like, he's just like this spiky hair. I met him. He was perfectly fine.
Yeah,
but it was just like this, like, just the typical, like, he was like, his band was like a Christian band. So it was like, just like spiky hair. It was like edgy for Christians.
No, that gets you closer to God.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's like that old, is it a King of the Hill quote? Where it's like, you're not making Christianity better, you're making rock and roll worse.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember who said that, but I think that's been around for a long time.
I think that's a King of the Hill quote, but I could be wrong. So, yeah, that was my first night there, and I just, like, went there for, like, fucking every Monday for, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
And just, like, I had some horrible sets there.
I was there for some of them.
Oh man, you've seen me bomb pretty hard.
Yeah, but I've also seen you crush. So
yeah, which, speaking of, Lloyd, a few weeks ago I got to go to enemy territory.
Gross.
Kansas City, Missouri.
That's yep. I'm good.
So okay, so I was originally going to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday because I had a Don't Tell show, and then Saturday I had a show at a place called Barrel of the Bottoms. It's like a pretty cool, like, little comedy venue in like an abandoned building. And then Sunday I had a show at a kind of a concert venue in like a side room called Knuckleheads. But I found out that that Thursday old Chatty Daddy was going to be at the Kansas City Funny Bone.
Nice.
So I hit him up. I was just like, hey, I'd love to come to the show. I'd love to do a spot. And he's like, yeah, 100%. Let's make it happen.
Fuck yeah.
And holy shit. Like, Chad's the best.
Yeah, he's a fucking monster.
And he crushed, and I also had a very good set as well.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Cheers to that. But don't worry, if you think I'm getting all high and mighty up here, don't worry. I get fucking humbled a little later. So, okay, hold on.
What, by a mirror?
That too. But so after the Thursday show, the feature act, you know Bill Squire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Bill has a little microphone on the stage, and he's like, hey, after Chad's second, you can get the microphone. I'm like, yeah, sure, of course. So I go back to the stage, and it's not there. So I'm just like, oh, shit, what do I do? I want to help Bill. I don't want to let him down and be like, hey, your microphone's gone. So what I realized was that there was a microphone on stage, but it was the one in the mic stand. So I'm just like, well, I got to help Bill Squire out. So I fucking pulled it out, walked the stage's mic to Bill. I'm like, hey, I got the microphone for you. And he's like, well, nope. Chad actually got the microphone for me. So I'm just holding the club's microphone in my hand. I just embarrassingly walked back. I was like, I think I briefly stole your guys' microphone.
Well, that's fantastic.
It was very funny. And everyone got Chad got a good kick out of it. And Bill got a good kick out of it. It was fun, but that show was fucking sick. Also, shout out Anthony from 800 Pound Gorilla. He was at the show, and he said some very nice things about my set. And then, so Friday...
You speak gorilla?
What's up?
You speak gorilla?
I'm autistic.
So am I.
We both speak gorilla.
And I worked with him.
Oh, yeah. Did you meet Harambe?
Yeah, it was my homie.
Oh, man. We miss Harambe.
Yeah.
It feels weird, like, talking, saying, like, because, like, he's been so memed.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know.
So, Friday, I did a Don't Tell show. And I thought I was doing, like, Barrel of the Bottoms, which was their venue. I thought I was doing both nights. So, I'm outside of Barrel. It's, like, windy as shit. I'm freezing cold. And I'm, like, messaging. I'm panicking. I'm messaging the people on the show. I'm like, I can't get into Barrel. Like, the venue's locked. So I'm just like, what the hell is going on? So I like 20 minutes go by. I'm freezing my ass off. And someone like finally gives me a code to get into the building because I couldn't find the door. So I'm just like, what the hell?
Can't find the door?
I'm circling. Okay, this gets pretty good. So what's that? Okay. So I am like circling the building, trying to find the door. And eventually the showrunner, Steven Taylor, cool dude, very funny comic. He eventually, he texts someone else. He's like, hey, give him the access code. He'll get in. So I got in and I like walk up to where the venue is and the venue's locked. So I'm like, what the fuck? And then, so the person that I'm messaging with, she's like, is there even a show tonight? And I looked at the schedule. I was like, oh, God damn it. There wasn't even a show.
Well, at least you got to be out in the wind.
I did get to be out in the wind. It was just like, oh, I didn't even realize there wasn't a show. It was just, and luckily the Don't Tell show was like less than a mile from where I was.
Well, I thought you weren't supposed to tell.
I can tell after the fact, you idiot.
Well, I said don't tell.
I've had people be like, where's your show? And I'm like, I can't say.
I don't understand the marketing behind that.
It's like this, it's the secret show concept.
Yeah, I just.
It's like it's in this district. I'm just like, buy tickets. They'll tell you the day of.
I don't know.
Whatever. It's like an exclusive. It's like an exclusive like night out thing where they barely pay the comics, but you didn't hear that from me.
Yeah, I'd be like, they're like, well, we can't tell you where it's at. And I'm like, oh, I need to know that information.
Yep. I need to know that ahead of time.
Yeah, because if it's going to be blinky and loud, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's true. And then,
so that's, you know, that's for, that's just me.
Yeah, that's fair. And that show was at like a, there was like a plant shop. It's just like a bunch of like gardening shit. And like there were people downstairs doing like painting stuff. And the show was upstairs. So it was a great show. Saturday I do Barrel. That's fine. Sunday at Knuckleheads. I have a video of this. A minute into my set, trains like start like rolling above on the train tracks and they decide that like, oh, Alex is on stage. He might like trains. Fucking no, I don't.
Wrong type of tizzy.
Yep. It was just like, I have a video of this where it was like, so I'm just telling a step to a joke. It's like, so Isaac, I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's a shitty fucking setup.
It was just like, so it was like right, the venue was like right below train tracks.
Yeah, that sounds like awful.
The venue is fine. The show is fine. I mean, like I ate shit that show.
Well, I guess it depends on how often the trains come by, but
yeah,
it seems like they're, I don't know.
I thought I played off it pretty well. Like I was like, oh, but like a train horn's like an autistic bat signal, which I thought was pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
But eventually I'm just like it honked again. I'm like, is there a crime I got to solve somewhere?
Yeah. That's what you were doing on the stage.
Yes. But the crime was the fact that the audience didn't like me that much.
That happens.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, I had to fucking work to get him back. Yeah, and I only barely did.
I've seen some people I don't understand. Like, Joe Shelby was up the other night here, and the audience was just like,
And Shelby's fucking great.
And he was murdering me. Like, I was fucking dying laughing.
Was this at the Riff Show?
I can't remember if it was the Riff Show or the Pro-Am. I don't remember off top, but yeah, just like the crowd just that day was just, nope.
That just sucks.
Gave them nothing.
And it's just like, so after that train just like fucking killed my momentum, and it was during a joke that's like kind of iffy for me, but and I'm working on like trying to like beef up my iffy material.
Yeah,
but
you mean like a comic does?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy, crazy.
You know, who else tried to beef up their iffy spots?
The Bangles.
The Bangles. That was even though we haven't recorded in like almost 4 months, like 3.5-4 months, I still got my segues down.
Yeah, I like it.
So, Lloyd, we had the season by and large was a disappointment. But like all things, all things considered, the fact that the Bengals had a 9-8 record with Jake Browning, which Jake Browning, to his credit, was fucking really good at some points. He was also very human at some points. Like Jake Browning far exceeded everyone's expectations.
Yeah.
And the Bengals went 9-8 with all that, like with T not playing for a handful of games, with Jamar being out for a few games.
Yeah, I mean, all in all, they did great. I mean, you saw a lot of potential out of a lot of other players. And yeah, I mean, the season overall, yeah, it didn't go how you'd like it to, but it still, there's a lot of bright spots.
There are. And I'm excited to see what 2024 holds, especially with a lot of the free agency signings. But first, before we address the free agency signings, T.
Yeah.
So he requested a trade, which I kind of get.
Yeah, I mean, it was to be expected.
Yeah, because like this is a day and age where like wide receivers are getting unbelievably paid.
Yeah.
Like Calvin, I mean, I was like fucking Adam Schefter for a week. Calvin Ridley, for example.
Yeah.
He got 4 years and I want to say like $90 million from the Titans.
Crazy.
With like 50 something guaranteed. That's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
And what sucks is like, I get that T is going to want like that kind of money. He's going to want the overpaid money, which I get. You want fucking millions of dollars.
Yeah, if you have an option to making twice as much money, you're going to take that option.
Because like Calvin Ridley was like, he wanted to stay in Jacksonville, but New England was like, we really want this guy.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I think there's like some coaching ties with Ridley too, but like, this is a Bengals podcast. But I think there's like a coach on Tennessee who was like a former Jags coach, and he's like, hey, let's bring Ridley and we got to fucking swoop him in from Jacksonville. Because like DeAndre Hopkins is getting older and Treylon Burks has been a bust so far. And
but that's a lot.
That's a ton.
That's too much.
And I don't feel comfortable paying T that, especially after having a down year with the injuries and shit. And with, I mean, if you're going to pick one Bengals receiver to pay, you got to pay Jamar Chase.
Yeah. I mean, that's not even a decision.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to more wide receiver in a little bit, but like, I get it, which the Bengals have T under financial control for 2024. I 100% expect T to be here in 2024. T expects to be here in 2024.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that's the way it's going.
Yeah. Because like every journalist in the fucking world was just like writing T Higgins articles. Like, where could he be traded? Like, he could be traded here. They just needed something to do.
Yeah. I mean, but that's every team every year. There's 15 people writing about it and they gotta come up with shit for every fucking day.
So. It's for reads. And I've been writing for Uncle Cy for a little bit, and I wrote where could T go? And there were times I was writing, I was like, oh, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem is speculation works. You can always decide, like, think of something that does make sense. It doesn't mean it's going
to
happen.
Yep, which we will get to that in predictions and bullshit, because I have a lot to get off my fucking chest.
Nice.
You know where I'm going with that, right?
I have an idea.
So, yeah, T will be here, and if there's any year for him to have a bounce back year,
probably be this one.
Dude, because he only had, like, 40-something receptions. He had, like, 42 receptions and, like, 560-something yards and 5 touchdowns. He picked a bad time to have a down year.
Yeah, I mean, right before everything's going to hit the fan for him, he definitely would have been nice if he'd had an up.
Yeah. But it's like the whole team. This is like kind of a all-encompassing down year because, like, Burrow got hurt and Jamar was hurt for a couple games and Mixon's production was kind of on and off. And
yeah, it wasn't the best for anybody, but like I said, a lot of good spots too.
Yeah, so. And like your secondary gave up like tons of big plays. Like Bates and Bell were missed last year.
Yeah,
but so actually, we'll segue into that with our first arrival. We'll actually do, since we just mentioned Bell, let's talk about him first. So
I think people are a little more hyped about it than they should be.
That's where I'm at.
I will say that as far as teaching the younger guys how to communicate, I think there's a good value there.
Yes. I think Anarumo could run some three safety sets.
Yeah, and I think the you know, versatility and knowledge are basically what we're paying for.
Yes.
Not necessarily playing.
We're also not paying much because, like, the Panthers are paying the bulk of his salary. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I understand bringing him back.
Yeah. Oh, I 100%. And I like it. Like, I mean, like, granted, because I think a lot of Bengals fans are kind of blinded by what little nostalgia we have.
Yeah.
And Von Bell was, like, a huge part of, like, us going from a bad team to a really good, like, a juggernaut, essentially. Yeah, yeah. And, like, Bengals fans had, like, emotional ties to players that, like, had huge moments. And Von Bell had some huge fucking moments.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, but there's a reason that he's not staying somewhere, you know?
Yeah, like, he was in, like, Carolina gave up the fewest passing yards in the NFL last year. Granted, a lot of it was because of game script.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to pass on a team that's getting the shit kicked. Like, you're not going to pass on a team that you're kicking the shit out of.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if you're way ahead, you're not, yeah, you're not, yeah, taking the risk. So,
yeah, I like the Bell signing for depth, for experience, for, like, veteran leadership. But I don't think he starts because we got another guy who I am real psyched about.
Geno
Stone.
It's a monster.
Dude, he was also really funny on Twitter. Fuck X. When Lamar Jackson was kind of trolling him a little bit. Just like kind of, and Kyle Hamilton, the Ravens safety, which Kyle Hamilton's really fucking good. But, like, they were, like, kind of trolling him for, like, leaving and going to the Bengals. And, like, yeah, he had the 50 cents. I was like, fuck did I do? Which is very funny. Yeah. But Geno led the NFL in interceptions among safeties.
Fuck yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Especially with the team that, like, gave up the most, or they had, like, so many big plays.
Yeah, it was definitely a weak spot.
Yeah, and, like the communication was off, and, like, granted, Jordan Battle had some growing pains, but I think
kid's a fucking beast.
He's so fucking good, man.
Yeah, I mean, he played super well.
I am. People think Von Bell's going to start over Jordan Battle. I'm like, what are you talking about? Jordan Battle is unbelievable.
Yeah, but people don't have to be, you know how it is, man. You help with the Bengals pages, and most people have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
I know. It's like, dude, Jordan Battle was, like, right in front of you, having an unbelievable second half to, like, go with your fucking hot hand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how we'll see what they all say when it's like, oh, well, why is it Von Bell story? Because fucking,
you go with your hot hand. You're like, you're doing Jordan Battle a disservice if you bench him.
Yeah, I mean, even if they split it up and maybe have, like, you know, a mix, a rotation, but just benching him for him, that'd be fucking absurd.
Just for Von Bell?
That'd be absurd.
Which, I mean, I feel like they're gonna rotate Bell in. They're going to have some three safety sets. And I think that'd be a decent possibility. But also, you know who led the Bengals in snaps in 2023?
Who?
Take a guess. He plays defense. Give you three guesses.
Logan?
Nope.
No, yeah, that doesn't make sense. Jordan Battle?
Nope.
I don't know.
Nick Scott started the season.
Oh. God damn it.
Give up?
Yeah. I can't think of fucking name.
What position are you thinking?
The guy who came in for on the other side. Not Taylor Brett.
No.
I don't know. What? Go ahead.
It's Dax Hill.
Yeah, God damn it. That's what I'm trying to, I'm like, not Taylor Brett, but I couldn't think
of
that.
Dax, yeah, Hill, Dax Hill of the Bengals in snaps overall.
Hell yeah.
And the two Bengals on offense that led the Bengals in snaps, there were only two offensive players that played 100% of snaps.
I don't know.
Jonah Williams and a guy who got really fucking good by the end of the year, Cordell Volson. He got pretty good.
I was going to say, you said really fucking good. And he got
better.
Acceptable.
Yes.
Beginning of the year, he was getting fucking trampled.
Oh, yes, he was.
It was not okay.
Yeah. But thankfully, his good stretch came at the end of the year and not. Thankfully, it was an upward
arc.
Upward arc instead of a decline.
Yeah.
But I feel all right about Stone and Battle starting.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like, if they have an entire training camp to, like, get, like, because Dax Hill was, like, he's, like, a Jamal Adams type, where he, like, he loves, like, blitz and tackle and shit. And Nick Scott was cheeks.
Yeah, he fucking was, he was awful.
Which, by the way, Carolina, have fun.
Yeah, good job.
But we basically traded Nick Scott for Von Bell. I'll take that all fucking day.
Every day.
So, I'm, like, if Geno Stone and Jordan Battle have, like, a training camp together, you, like, with Von Bell just teaching them shit.
Yeah, yeah. I assume that's what's in the plan.
Dude, I'll take, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, because, like, the second, like, especially with, like, because the rest of the secondary is young, too. But, like, I mean, Mike Hilton's a veteran, but you got, like, Cam Taylor-Britt, who's, like, really, he's pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
And DJ Turner, who's, like, kind of on and off.
I mean, he had stretches where he was amazing.
Yes.
And then he had a lot of miscues, and I think that, like, robbed him of his confidence a bit.
Rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
Which, that's fine. Like, I mean, granted, like, we picked a... This was, like, our growing pains year. With, like, you know, our defense is super young, and we have, like... I mean, we had some injuries on offense.
There was a lot of key. There was a lot of key places where there were changes, and then there was a lot of key places where there were injuries, and it just didn't add up.
Which, if anything, it just makes 2024 just kind of that much more exciting.
Yeah, I think if everything, like, fits together and meshes together,
holy,
it'd be a fucking amazing team.
Holy shit! And the next guy I want to talk about is signing. I think it's maybe our most underrated signing. What do you think of Zach Moss?
I think there's a lot of potential. Just have to see how it pans out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's shown a lot of good.
Yes.
But not, I haven't seen enough. If okay. That, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's just not enough of him playing, you know, game after game after game after game.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, because, you know, you're going to get beat up a little bit. If you're only doing these little flashes here and there, I think that seems a lot easier than doing it consistently. So that's the only part I have a question about. But all in all, I'm very positive about the possibilities.
I am too. I think so with, because, like, Zach Moss hasn't played a full season.
Yeah.
Like, as a starter. I mean, he played like half of last season before Jonathan Taylor came back.
Yeah.
And he was there were some games he was really fucking good, and some games he didn't produce as much.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I wonder how it'll be, like, having a little more responsibility game to game to game to game.
So I see this Bengals backfield as, like, the perfect committee.
It has the potential to be. I'll say that.
So you have Zach Moss, who, as of now, is, like, your early down back. Who's, like, because Zach Moss, one way that, like, Zach Moss is an upgrade over Mixon is, I mean, a significant upgrade, is pass blocking.
Yeah, that's definitely a bright spot.
Yes. And, like, because I think fantasy football has, like, kind of changed the way that, like, people look at how teams operate. Because, like, if this running, like, because I would love for this to operate as a committee, and Moss and Brown perfectly complement each other. Like, Moss is, like, he can be your downhill runner who can occasionally hit home runs, and Chase Brown is, like, he's your pass catcher. He can hit the home run. He can, like, he's your Tony Pollard.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love that dynamic that they have. But on the other hand, like, I'll die on this hill. The Bengals have the kind of offense where they don't need their running backs to produce every single game.
No, yeah. I mean, there's too much explosive potential anywhere on there. And the way that they play it is take what's given. So you're not reliant on any one side.
Yes. Like, you don't have to have Zach Moss putting up 80 yards a game, and you don't have to have Chase Brown putting up another 50. Like, you don't have to, yeah, like, you could just have, if Zach Moss puts up 40 yards a game, or 40 yards, I'm sorry, 40 yards in a game, Burrow could, like, pick up, if all goes well, Burrow could pick up the slack with 300 yards.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
And like Jamar could have a buck 30 and T could have another 70. And then Jones and Yoshivas, who really stepped up at the end of the year.
I mean, he was playing great.
Yeah. I mean, Yoshi in particular was like, I want to see more out of Charlie Jones. Cause like when he was at Purdue, like he really produced as a receiver. But like in his first year in the Bengals, he was more of like just like a special teams guy.
Yeah, which I mean, with the receiving core you have,
it's an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not going to get everyone out there trying everything.
Yeah, and like you have Trenton Irwin, who's like a decently good wide receiver five.
Yeah,
I'll take that any day.
Yeah.
So I like the offensive dynamic that they have, like with Moss occasionally being like a very good like he'll surprise you with a 120 yard game.
Yeah, which I mean, they ain't never gonna hurt.
I would love that. And Chase Brown could occasionally have that like fucking home run.
Yeah, that kid, if he gets loose, he's a fucking problem.
Yeah, and I love that dynamic. And with same with Moss.
Yeah.
Moss gets loose, he's gone.
Yeah, I didn't mean to take it away from him. I just made like
no, you're good. But no, I and it's for not a lot of money. Where you can like allocate your resources to like the rest of your team, which I kind of did in free agency.
Gonna have to.
But next one up, which I we kind of came up with together last season, Gesicki.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it opens up a lot of options.
Yes.
Like he's good on most parts of the game. I mean, he can block fairly well.
He's more of a receiver than he is a blocker.
I'm saying he can block fairly well, but his hands are fantastic.
He's like a slot receiver. Like if you have, I mean, Drew Sample and Gesicki are like opposites to me. Like Drew Sample gets like undue shit because of where he was drafted.
Yeah.
Which is not fair to Drew Sample.
No, it's not. But also, there's a reason that he's still on the team and he keeps coming back. He does his job super well.
Yep. And just because he was a second round pick doesn't mean he has to be like
a pass catching juggernaut.
Yeah, that because like I said, fantasy football changed. Like, I mean, Zach Taylor's right. Granted, could he have gotten him two rounds later than he did? Yes.
Probably.
But Drew Sample fits the system and he's an important part of the fucking team.
Yeah, and I mean, but he's a key part of something that he knew that was known that was needed. And you know, there's one guy in the draft that really fits the way you want, you fucking get him.
Yep. And the Bengals got him. And did he live up to second round potential? I don't think so. But does he play an important role in the team? Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, he's one of the best pass blocking tight ends I think there is.
Yeah, and he does his job. He does exactly what the Bengals need him to do. And with Gesicki, like if they run two tight end sets, like Kosicki's like you're just up the middle. And
yeah, I mean he's your relief valve, or I mean you can plan a play around him.
Yep.
So he's versatile enough as far as his catching and route running and knowing the offense, you know, knowing what he's doing, that yeah, he gives you a lot of options.
And Burrow has also gotten like a ton of tight ends paid. Like he got Uzama paid, he got Hayden Hurst paid. He might get Tanner Hudson paid somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, or might see a lot of two tight end sets with Hudson and fucking Gesicki.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Yeah, well, if you have fucking Tanner Hudson, Mike Gesicki, and Drew Sample, I mean, granted, it's not Brock Bowers, which you're not going to get Brock Bowers in the draft.
Probably not, no.
But that's still pretty, I mean, it's for what you're paying. Not bad.
Not at all.
All right. Next up, we have Sheldon Rankins, the defensive tackle.
Yeah, I don't. He's not. It's hard because
he's
not gonna be Reader.
No. So one of the biggest things the Bengals lack right now, which they lost when Reader signed elsewhere, and I get why. If he doesn't hurt his quad, he's back in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
The Bengals lack a nose tackle.
Yeah, they a run stop. Just a big run stopping fucking.
Because run defense was already a problem.
Yeah, and now he's gone.
Yeah, so it's going to get worse. And you don't know where they're going to go in the draft. Like, I hope they address the trenches in round one and two, but
that would be very nice.
I know. I don't think they're going to. There's no way they get a receiver in round one.
I can't. No, that would be wild if they did.
There's no need.
Yeah, but, I couldn't. I don't see a situation where that would happen
or make sense. Like, so they have their current starters on the line are Sheldon Rankins and BJ Hill.
Yeah,
which they're both three techs.
Yeah.
They're both like pass rushers. They don't have like, and Tupo is like your best and your only true nose tackle, not even on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who they're going to have there.
I think there's some directions they could go in the draft, and it seems like a lot of the top defensive tackles in the draft are three techs.
Yeah.
So I don't see. It's like they have like these like pass rushing dynamos, which like sacks are a sexy stat. They're also a little overrated
if they can make up the sack on the next run because there's no one to stop the fucking run.
Yeah.
Sack doesn't really mean.
Well, when you have to play fucking Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson on the same team twice a year.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I go any further, I am not losing sleep over the Ravens signing Derrick Henry.
No, I mean,
If they signed Derrick Henry 4 years ago, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be a much bigger problem.
But, I mean, he's still got to treat him like he's vintage Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a problem, but he's not the problem he was.
It's not that he's old. It's just like the tires ran him to death in Nashville. And I mean,
everyone's also learned how he runs and, you know.
He's a power runner.
Yeah.
He's the best power runner in the NFL in the last 10 years.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, the guy's, I mean, Hall of Famer. Is Derrick Henry a Hall of Famer?
I think so, yeah.
I think so. He's a monster.
I mean, if every team you play has to plan around you for season after season after season,
yeah,
you're probably a Hall of Famer.
Yep. So yeah, I'm okay with the Rankins signing. Pollen?
Huh? I'm dying. It's hot.
Yeah. You can open. Would opening the door help?
I don't know. It's fine.
And the last one, I'm a little more. I'm torn. Trent Brown.
Yeah, that's. I get what they're doing. I get why.
Yep.
But we'll see.
I see. I have a couple reasons why I want the Bengals to draft a right tackle in round one, because I am adamant on Trent Brown insurance.
Yeah, I would definitely like to have something in place because I mean the potential is there. I get it. Potential for it to go bad is almost equal. I think in my mind,
because so. Like the Bengals that like is our system over the last some odd years has been like. Get a veteran that's like a veteran's the safer signing. Riley Reiff didn't pan out that well.
Nope.
Lael Collins didn't pan out absolutely that well. Not. Jonah Williams had his moments.
Yeah.
But he didn't pan out that well. So let me give you a little quiz. And there's no way to know the answer. How do you think Trent Brown did week 17 last year against the Buffalo Bills?
I don't really remember.
I can tell you right now, he was a healthy scratch.
Oh, okay.
It was like, so he had like kind of a messy divorce with New England where like Belichick, like that was kind of the boiling point where Bill Belichick was just like, yeah, we want players who want to play.
Yeah.
And Trent Brown was fucking miserable in New England.
But yeah, I guess also by the end of the season, sometimes that I think there's that.
When you're blocking for fucking Bailey Zappi. Sorry, Sam.
Yeah.
It's like your team sucks. Like you're not going to make the playoffs, and Trent Brown just wants out of New England.
Yeah, which I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I don't blame him.
There's plenty of potential. He could be a fucking.
He could be the best signing.
Yeah, yeah. He could. He has the potential to be like the best pickup we have this whole offseason.
Yes,
but he also, yeah, it's. I don't want like the OBJ effect of like somebody just being like pissy and unhappy and blah, 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 and fucking shit up and not playing to their potential. And
also like getting like, cause like he only played, I believe 11 games last year.
Yeah. But
So I'm with you. I'm a little iffy on it. I'm happy they made the signing because I also don't want to rely on a first round pick.
Yeah, for sure.
Not have, so it's like I wouldn't want to solely rely on Trent Brown, and I also wouldn't want to rely on a Talisa Fuaga or a J.C. Latham or an Amarius Mims to.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that to be the solution.
Yeah, just like solely rely on one player.
That's never a good idea.
Ever. No, because it's just like if it doesn't pan out, you're screwed. Like you're not.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're good. Like you're not going to put Jackson Carmen at right tackle.
I mean, you could just keep him away from all the
15-year-old puss.
Yeah. I mean, we always call Bobby Hart back.
The Bobby Hart back.
Call Bobby. What's his name? What was his name? Bobby Hart.
False start. Bobby Hart.
Yeah. Call him back
because he was also like a big conspiracy theorist too.
Yeah, yeah. He's a fucking weirdo.
He was a piece of shit. All right. So, do you think there's still? Like, where else do you think the Bengals need, like, looking into the draft and looking into, and I know you don't really know a ton of players.
I know a handful. I just haven't been, like, usually, like I said, I crank up right before and kind of get into it just because there's so many people coming in and out. Like, this is supposed to be here. So much shit changes that it's such a pain in the ass to follow for me. So I usually just crank in, like, the last, like, week or two before.
Which is, okay, yeah, so that is, like, a lot of Bengals fans. So I talked about this a little pre-recording. Bengals fans were horny for Brock Bowers in the draft. And this was like midway through last season when Burrow went down. It's like, we got to get Brock Bowers because like we had like Tanner Hudson, who's serviceable. And we had like Mike Gesicki, Andrew Sample. It's like, we don't have that like that game-changing tight end.
Yeah.
But fuck, Jake Browning ended up being pretty fucking good.
Yeah. And that's not a bad thing. But yeah, I mean, you can't just count. Again, that's that same thing. Like, so much shit changes ahead of time that you just, I like to wait and then get involved because I hate like getting my hopes up or getting a thought going and like having an expectation and then all of a sudden it's changed and this is different. Now this person's there and not this. So if I had to say anything, I would really, really like. From what I've seen, I can't think of any good run stoppers that would be first round.
A lot of them are like Jerzon Newton's a three tech, and who's the other guy? Byron Murphy's a three tech. Luke Ohorohoro, that's going to be a nightmare of a name. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, I have no idea.
He's a Clemson guy. He's like a second round guy. He's a three tech. The one guy that I think could be like a true run stopper actually just got a DUI.
Nice.
He was supposed to be like a second-ish round pick, but then like with the DUI, like his stock tanked like a whole round.
Yeah, that happens.
His name is Tavondre Sweat.
Okay,
he's like he lined up with Byron Murphy at Texas. But like that could he could be like a potential like, which if you're the Bengals, fuck, I would take that character risk.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, how many times have we?
We took one. I mean, we took one with Mixon like real hard.
Yeah.
We took one. I think the Bengals kind of swept the whole Jackson Carmen thing under the rug, which is like part of the reason why I'm so fucking infuriated that he still exists.
Yeah, yeah.
But they took character risks on those guys. And so I think Tavondre Sweat is a good potential. Like, I feel weird saying a character risk.
I mean, the dumb kids do dumb things.
Yeah, he was a dumb kid who did a dumb thing. Rishi Rice, but like a.
Oh God!
But
still sounds like a Asian STD to me.
Rashi Rice. But
I got the Rashi Rice.
Rashi Rice. So I think my biggest positions in the draft are: we need a nose tackle, undoubtedly. We need a right tackle.
I'm with you there.
We need a wide receiver to replace not T. Higgins, but Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
And that's like a round three pick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I wouldn't mind an extra corner for depth.
I wouldn't either. Also, I wouldn't mind just, I mean, stack up a couple more guys on the D-line. I mean,
yeah.
BJ's, he plays well, but also he plays well in a rotation.
Yep. I think like maybe there's potential for another three tech lineman, But we lack a nose tackle.
That's the one that I'd really, really like to get addressed.
Yep. Because we need, like, because if we don't, teams are going to run all over us. And we don't have a good front seven. Like, we have, like, Trey Hendrickson, the sack machine, and, like, Miles Murphy, who I think is going to get a lot better.
Oh, yeah, too.
I love Miles Murphy.
Great by the end of the year.
And, like, Sam Howard's like a run stopper. Where would you stand on moving Hubbard to the inside?
I just don't know that he has the run stop build. He's definitely like great at going around and getting it, the speed to get there and the length to get there. But like, just, I don't know if he's built for that.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm trying to think where else we need. I wouldn't mind like a mid round tight end just in case.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, assuming that there's nothing that drops
like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe some interior line depth.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind another guard just in case Volson tanks again.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, with the way they always do it, they're going to take the best person.
BPA.
And they're really good at it.
I think, okay, so I was thinking about this the other day. I don't think you always, I think in the later rounds you take BPA, but the early rounds, you got to draft for need.
Well, yeah, I mean, but the idea is to try not to have to draft for need.
Yeah, because what happened, you remember what happened in 2018? The Bengals thought Frank Ragnow was just going to fall to them, and then the Lions just jumped him. You know, remember who we drafted instead? No. Bailey Price.
Yeah, there you go.
Who turned into BJ Hill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
The Bengals traded Billy Price for BJ Hill and a draft pick. Which, shit.
Good trade.
We're 45 minutes in. So, and I got some things I want to talk about at the end. Like, dearly want to talk about at the end.
Okay.
We didn't just bring players in. We had some players leave.
Yeah.
First off, Joe Mixon to the Texans.
Yeah. Sucks, but.
Sucks, but you got to move on. Yeah. I think Mixon loved Cincinnati. He took pay cuts. He was a great player for a long time. I remember where I was when we drafted him. Ladder 19. I am going to remember Joe Mixon for the rest of my life. I remember meeting him in OTR when I was hammered, and he was understandably a little like, hey, fuck off. But I think it's time we got to move on from Joe Mixon because he got a fat contract.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, get paid. Like, these could be the twilight years for Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I mean, he's at that point where you got to go for the get your bag before you get out.
Yeah, and get your bag before no one else will give it to you.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're living in an age where, like, running backs are not getting paid the way they used to.
No, not at all.
And they're not valued the way they used to be.
Not at all.
So if you can make $9 million a year for the next 3 years as a running back.
Yeah, definitely take it.
Take it.
Yeah.
Chidobe Awuzie to the Titans.
Again, I think he's running out of steam.
Yep. And the Titans gave him like a pretty meaty 3-year deal.
Yeah, yeah. So
again, I'm not paying that much for Chido.
Yeah, I didn't think it was worth what we would have had to pay to keep him.
Jonah Williams to the Cardinals.
Okay.
Yep. Do you know what they gave him?
More than they should have.
2 years, $30 million.
That's absurd.
I know. I also think it's due to his ability to play
left and right.
Left and right. There you go. And this one is probably going to hurt the most. DJ Reader to the Lions.
Yeah, it sucks. That one just sucks.
So I think it came down to, like, because Reader was talking about how the Bengals weren't, like, during his rehab process, like, the Bengals weren't really negotiating with him. And the Lions were like, the Lions didn't give him a whole lot of guaranteed money.
Yeah, I know. It's,
which I get. That's a smart move on their part.
I understand all the sides of it. It just,
it sucks.
Don't care for it.
Because, like, the Bengals have, like, they now don't have a true nose tackle unless they decide that Josh Tupou is worth starting.
Yeah, which I don't know that.
Not really.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen enough to be comfortable with that.
Yeah. So, and there's also, like, Tupou could not be here next. Like, he's still unsigned.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Tyler Boyd is still unsigned.
That's true.
Which I don't anticipate Boyd coming back.
I mean, I wouldn't anticipate it, but I wouldn't write it off either.
I'll take, I mean, if he comes back, I'll take it like a, on like a little cheap 1 year deal.
Yeah, yeah.
I also think the Bengals could opt for like a younger guy in like the third round, because they have two third round picks.
Yeah, yeah. I could definitely see them. I imagine that's when they'll address that, is around there, like, yep, find a decent slot guy.
And this receiver class is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, it's pretty deep.
Yep. And I think like the offensive tackle class is deep, but I also think like if you're in round one, I mean, like right tackle in particular, like Talisa Fuaga is a right tackle. J.C. Latham, who's huge,
yeah,
is a right tackle. I think size is a bit overrated.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's people, it helps if they're good.
Yes. Like J.C. Latham's like 6'8", 350, 360.
Yeah,
that's, he's huge.
Fucking huge.
And, or like 6'7", or something like that. He's up there. And Amarius Mims, who is 6'7", but like 330 something.
Yeah. So, I mean, it comes down to playing styles, to how much size matters.
Yeah. And Amarius Mims, like, for a guy who's 330 pounds, he looks like he has a six pack.
Yeah, yeah. He moves.
Have you seen him?
Yeah.
He's nuts.
He's impressive.
So, yeah. So, like, so where else besides, like, nose, besides the trenches and, like, receiver, where else do you think that the Bengals could use a receiver or a player or two?
I think filling out the linebacker core, maybe.
Yeah, same. Because, like, actually, I talked about this as well. Like, another way we struggled in 2023 was covering tight ends.
Yeah.
And, like, Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt with, like, maybe Akeem Davis Gaither for a little bit. But, like, we don't have a whole lot. Like, Marcus Bailey's still unsigned.
Yeah, yeah. And they got Bocce back for 1 year.
Yeah. It's fine.
But maybe, you know, somebody a little, find like a nice, like real good cover backer would be nice.
Yeah, like I saw like Junior Colson out of Michigan, or even if they, maybe they could, like, there's a guy named Peyton Wilson out of NC State who was like this like fucking freak athlete but has like a really bad injury history.
Yeah.
So you said linebacker and where else?
I mean, honestly, I think we've covered pretty much everything that we
pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't think punter is as big of a need as we think it is.
No, I think you'll be fine.
Because, like, people consider punt, like, they just look at, like, punt distance or punt average. That's all they look at.
Yeah.
You're not looking at, like, how much did he hang time, which Drew Chrisman was dog shit.
Yeah.
Like, and punts inside the 20.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not always booming the ball 60 fucking yards.
Yeah, it's more about, but again, that's, people get their own, like, just whatever fantasy points.
People just, like, people love those sexy stats.
Yeah.
They love, like, oh, he booms the ball 70 yards every single time. You all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good. Like, people love those sexy stats. Like, they love, like, the deep, like, they love the 40-yard dash time.
Yeah, yeah.
They love the booming yards per kick.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the ones that, you know, every announcer is like, oh, this is, you know, they parrot them back at you every game. So I think it kind of gets people stuck in that part of just paying attention to those specific stats as opposed to, like, what's actually being achieved.
So, and I'm going to do a ball with the stick example. And I was listening to the Defector podcast recently about this velocity in pitchers. Because what's happening, and you were a pitcher.
Yeah.
Because so what's happening is, like, more of an emphasis is being placed on velocity than, like,
just outright speed.
No, like for pitches.
Oh.
Like there was talk of a guy like, oh, he throws 92 miles an hour. Yeah, he's not getting drafted. It's like, what the fuck? Because, like, if you want to get drafted, you have to throw, like, 97, 98.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's fucking pitchers' arms up.
Yeah.
Like, people are getting hurt.
So I can imagine that probably does have an issue on longevity.
Yeah. And, like, I won't ball with the stick for super long. Like, Greg Maddux is one of the best pitchers of all time, and he consistently threw 88.
Yeah.
Because he was impeccable with, like, ball placement and shit. Oh, boy. Now I'm feeling the pollen. Shit.
Yeah, my eyes are on fucking fire.
Same. So, but yeah, I think we kind of summed it up.
Yep.
All right. Can I get a couple things off my chest?
Go for it.
Good.
Swing away.
First. Okay. So what did you think I was going to talk about earlier?
I don't know. Let's just go.
Okay.
Let's go.
First and foremost, if you are a Bengals fan listening to this podcast, knock it off with the Justin Jefferson bullshit. It is fan fiction. I'm over it.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, guys.
I know. Because it's, I get, like, because like I said, you're blinded by nostalgia of Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson winning the national championship at LSU.
If we can't pay T, we can't pay JJ.
Yeah.
That should be the end of the argument.
Yeah. And there's like, nope. Because there's like the Vikings have been unwilling to trade him. Jefferson's like, I'm a little jealous. Oh my God, he wants to come here. Shut up.
Yeah, there's like a certain section of fans that I just like delete from, like I just remove anything they say. Like,
yeah.
Posts like that, I don't even bother. I don't
blame you.
I'm just like, nope, I'm out. I'm not fucking even going to read this because it's just going to make me like,
why are we this stupid? And first of all, I'm glad you agree.
Yeah.
Because on the way here, I was like, is Lloyd going to agree with me that Justin Jefferson? Wait, because like you've always been a guy that's like, go for the safe thing.
Yeah. Logical.
Yeah. And that's not logical.
No, it's also just, there's no reason whatsoever to think it would happen.
It's fan fiction.
Yeah.
I know you're excited about the possibility, but there is none.
Yeah.
You're going to spend half of your cap on three players.
Yeah, that's that.
Let me give you a little trivia question. What team led the NFL in dropped passes last year? I can tell you this. It's the team that won the fucking Super Bowl.
Nice.
Yeah, so receivers aren't everything. It's like we already have Ja'Marr Chase. We already... Also, do you remember who our fucking quarterback is?
Yeah.
The Bengals are in a position where... We're one of few teams in the league that have this luxury. Since we have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, we have a guy who can make the most out of his receivers. We don't need... Like, look at the Dolphins, for example. They have Tua turn the ball over.
Yeah.
But to make him effective, they have to have Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah.
They have to have these elite receivers... just to get this guy to produce. He wasn't producing until they, like, to a crazy extent, until they got Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, which, I mean, maybe that's, you know, the idea of fitting the team to the playoff. But also, it's unsustainable.
The Burrow and Jefferson and Chase?
Yeah.
It's completely unsustainable.
I mean, if we don't want any defensive players signed, or you know, I mean...
Unless
Justin Jefferson wants to play corner as well. I mean...
It's like, if you acquire Jefferson, who are you giving up? Trey?
I can't think of anyone that would justify, where it would be justified or make sense.
I feel
like we shouldn't even be spending this much
time discussing. I was literally thinking the same thing. I feel icky even talking about it.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
And they're like legitimately speculating, like, oh, what could happen? It's like, we could win the Super Bowl. Yeah, you're going to win your fucking fantasy championship.
Good job.
Yay. But like, you're going to have to make sacrifices everywhere. You're going to have to get rid of, do you want five Jackson Carmans on the offensive line? You are literally spending half of your cap on three players. That is irresponsible.
Yeah, it's let's move on.
Same. Okay.
That's just going to fucking irritate me.
I'm really glad you and I see eye to eye on this.
Yeah. I mean,
even though you're standing and I'm sitting, but like,
yeah, it's just being mildly reasonable.
Yes. Okay. So there's another Bengals guy I want to talk about, and he's kind of blown up. And my brother in particular is a rabid fan of this guy.
Yeah.
He has started stand-up comedy recently. Uh-huh. He's the mailman guy.
Okay.
Do you know a lot about this guy? Uh-huh. He's this guy like, watch out.
Well, I know who he is, but I don't
care. Our booty. But he's like, he's this guy. He's just like an Instagram, TikTok guy.
Yeah. Like I said, I know who he is. I just don't care.
So he has like started stand-up recently.
Yeah.
Like he headlined
Funny Bone.
He did like some shows with the Funny Bone and like, Like Gary Owens taking him on the road.
Okay.
And like, I want to talk about this because like, a lot of like people who are fans of him don't understand stand-up comedy.
Yeah, of course. Again, this is, it's almost the same thing of addressing something so dumb that I have virtually nothing to say. Like, I don't, whatever. If that's the thing you like, go do that.
Yeah. If you like that, I mean, but, Grant, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he's probably fine, whatever. But I don't, I'm just not like, I'm not the person who sees something on TikTok and is like, I'm going to drive to Indiana to see this thing. Like, I don't fucking care. It's TikTok, whatever.
Yeah.
It's videos. It's.
Yeah, there's, I posted in Houdet Nation. I'm like, hey, this guy's doing stand-up. He's never done it before. So you're going to expect, and like, you're going to expect your favorite internet personality to be this fucking murderer on stage. No.
It's not going
to
happen.
A key to getting good at stand-up comedy is by performing consistently for a long time in front of crowds who have no fucking idea who you are.
Yeah. So it'll be a flash in the pan thing. Next season we'll be like, oh yeah, you remember that thing happened once? Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, I hope he does well. He'll be fine. I mean,
Dustin Diamond performed at UC one time.
How'd he do?
I don't fucking know. I didn't go. It's fucking Screech.
Yeah. I don't even know his catchphrase.
I don't fucking either.
But it's like,
I know what it is now.
What is it? Oh, yeah. No, that's too soon. Kind of caught me a little bit.
All right. We better ready to land this motherfucker.
Yes. Let's fucking land this motherfucker. So I'm glad I got those things off my chest. So I'll close on this. He's not a comedian. He's starting to be. And if he gets better, he gets better. Cause look, I'll say this. Like, there were times when I was 6 months in that I did really fucking well.
Yeah.
And there are times now where I bomb.
Yeah.
So it's like, just because you have a good set doesn't mean you're a good comic yet.
No. And that, I mean, but that's the thing is either people already know that or they're never going to.
They're not. Yes. It's like, it was like, we made the right guy famous and you probably did, but he's got to get like good at cause he's a catchphrase comic right now.
Oh well, yeah,
he's like Stanko Bodie. He's like, yeah, sure, yeah,
well, okay.
But I'm happy he's getting to do it. But
yeah, good for him. He gets some dollars and
get some stage time. Let Gary Owen write your jokes for you. Yes, I would too.
Yeah,
I have other people help me write jokes. Sure. We all do.
I have. Don't tell jokes.
You do on this podcast.
That's fair.
Lloyd, what are you have a Pie and Violence show coming up.
Yeah, Friday, 9 p.m. Chameleon. And then, the following day we'll be opening, West Side Vintage, which Breezy is, partnering in.
Ooh.
And I am helping them, like, I don't know, build shit.
Ooh, that's fun. So it's like a vintage store?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's over on, Bridgetown. Is there a grand opening?
In Northside?
No, over on Bridgetown, West Side.
Oh, duh. I'm not much of a West Sider, so I don't know shit about the West Side.
Fun. But yeah, check it out, 420. Come check out our stash.
Sure. I got some plugs. Friday, the 26th and the 27th, I will be opening. I'm not going to say hosting or featuring because I don't fucking know yet. I'll be opening for Steve Gillespie at Commonwealth Sanctuary.
Nice.
May, I will be opening for Billy DeVore for his album recording at Commonwealth.
Fuck yeah.
I'm doing a Don't Tell show this summer. And this one I just found out last night. This weekend, so you're seeing Blake Wexler, right?
Yeah.
I think Saturday, like Friday, he's bringing some guy. I think Saturday, Psy Daddy's featuring.
Nice.
Thursday and Sunday.
Hell yeah.
Your boy.
Congrats, bro.
I'll be featuring for Blake Wexler at Go Bananas Comedy Club this Thursday and Sunday. Friend of the pod, Hannah Youngholm, will be opening.
Nice.
Professional server. She's one of my favorite fucking people in the world.
She's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's pretty dope. I texted her today. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be featuring for when Blake's headline. I'm like, it's just... And you know Blake, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sweetest human being alive.
Yeah, he's a sweet boy.
But yeah, I think Lloyd, you're kind of ready to land this motherfucker, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because I can tell your body's kind of hurting. But who are
long day.
Who are we mad at?
You know what? Zach Wyckoff.
Hey, Lloyd.
Alex.
I think we have one thing left to say.
Fuck you, Zach Wyckoff. We like the Bengals.
Why, man?
Fuck you. We like the Bengals.